Visible bruises on her, the child's cheeks, stomach, arms, thighs, back. And there were, actually, not only did this woman hit her, but she did it with a metal spatula. So there was a dissenting opinion, and as a result, whenever there's a dissenting opinion, that means that the Supreme Court has a right, someone has the right to take the case up to the Supreme Court. And I think that the dissenting opinion was interesting because it's Judge Giordano said that not only was this a novel issue, because the issue was whether a boyfriend who tells his girlfriend to stop hitting her daughter, was not his daughter, her daughter, can be found complicit in the mother's abuse because he did not do more. So anyway, that kind of wraps us for today, because we're going to be presenting the sports guys right now. But I do want to caution people that you have an absolute obligation, number one, to report suspected neglect or abuse under our statute. And in this case, because he did not do more, the majority upheld the fact that he was convicted of abuse and neglect. And so the Judge Giordano's dissenting opinion is really very interesting. It goes on to talk about some of the things in the majority opinion that were not reported. But it's also very interesting because it's rare that there is a dissent in the appellate division. The appellate division judges try to, come to a conclusion that all of the judges will concur with. And so there really are not that many cases where there's a dissenting opinion in the appellate division. So let me give you the news, and then we'll be back.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
We obviously regret that that happened. This special relationship that exists between our two countries will certainly withstand this particular unfortunate event.
Secretary of State Rex Tillerson saying the U.S. is taking full responsibility for intelligence leaks that hampered the British investigation into the Manchester Islamic terrorist attack. There are reports those leaks have led British authorities to stop sharing information about the investigation with U.S. officials. Homeland Security Secretary John Kelly is sounding a dire warning about the threat of terrorism. On Fox and Friends today, he recounted he was telling one of the hosts on his way into the studio, quote, "If he knew what I knew about terrorism, he'd never leave the house in the morning." Kelly said a terror attack can happen at almost any time. He mentioned several that happened recently, including the Manchester attack and the assault on Coptic Christians today in Egypt. This is USA Radio News.
My number two does not look like a number two. I don't know what to call it. Is there a number three?
Table for four, please. Anything close to the restroom.
A middle seat with these stomach problems? That's my fear of flying.
Sound like you? If it does, you could be one of the many people with a digestive condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. Even if you don't know what EPI is, you might know the symptoms. Frequent diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain. If you have even just one of these symptoms, you could still have EPI, because not everybody experiences EPI the same way, which is why it's so important to open up to your doctor about all your symptoms. And the good news is, EPI is manageable, so don't keep a lid on it. Go to identifyepi.com complete the symptom checker, and use it to have a conversation with your doctor. Don't keep a lid on it. Visit IdentifyEPI.com. Brought to you by AbbVie.
Republican Greg Gianforte, the winner of the House race in Montana. Chris Barnes has more.
Gianforte beating the Democrat in the race, Rob Quist, one day after being charged with misdemeanor assault for allegedly body slamming a reporter for The Guardian.
That's not the person that I am, and it's not the way I'll lead in this state.
Gianforte's campaign had initially claimed the reporter had caused the scuffle, though in his Thursday night victory speech, Gianforte repeatedly apologized and said,
I should not have treated that reporter that way.
I'm Chris Barnes.
Some teachers in Texas in trouble for naming a seventh grader most likely to become a terrorist. Student Lizeth Villanueva said she was given the award during a mock ceremony in her college prep class last week. The 13-year-old said the teachers at Anthony Aguirre Junior High School in Houston were laughing as fake certificates were handed out to students. She didn't think the terrorist joke was funny. She said with what just happened 2 or 3 days ago with Ariana Grande and her concert, the award was entirely inappropriate. USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allen Root, and I take care of my own health. That's why I subscribe to Life Extension Magazine. And now you could do the same for free. Life Extension Magazine is the ultimate source for health. Every issue is jam-packed with the latest therapies and innovative treatment protocols. And now you could take charge of your own health. My listeners could get a free 6-month subscription to Life Extension Magazine. Just call toll-free 855-870-6622. That's 855-870-6622. Or go to lifeextension.com/war.
A man posing as a fake police officer has been pulling people over and robbing them in the Phoenix area. Here's Jason Campidonia.
The man impersonating an officer is driving an older Crown Victoria with emergency lights. Officials say the victim was pulled over Wednesday night by the guy wearing clothing and equipment similar to that of an officer, but the uniform didn't have any identifiable patches. The fake cop stole some property from the victim and then took off. Phoenix police say if you get pulled over and are unsure about the officer, simply ask to see some ID. I'm Jason Campidonia.
A former real estate agent turned serial killer pleading guilty to 7 counts of murder and other charges. Todd Cole had made the plea this morning in a Spartanburg County, South Carolina courtroom in exchange for the prosecutor taking the death penalty off the table. Kohlhepp told the judge he understands he's spending the rest of his life in prison. Kohlhepp arrested in November after police rescued a woman who was chained inside a container on his property for 2 months. Dozens of family members of Kohlhepp's victims were in the courtroom today for the plea.
Okay, we'll start with the sports guys after I just tell you the weather. Well, Bill, I guess if you're going to go down to your boat this weekend, the day to do it is tomorrow.
That's right, Pat. As of 3:30 today, we learned our boat is in the water. They had to call us complaining that they couldn't find the dock lines after I told them twice where they were, and I've now told them for a third time.
Better go down tomorrow because... we're looking tomorrow, partly foggy in the morning. Then there's a slight chance of showers, only about 20% tomorrow. By Sunday, it's again a chance of showers, about 30%. We can expect, Sunday night and Monday, again, to be kind of a rainy weekend, which is unfortunate because this is a big weekend at the shore. It's a big weekend for people to be out and about, and of course, then the following week on June 3rd, that Saturday, I wanted to remind everybody that there is, as part of Community Day, at, do you call that the old fairgrounds on Route in Ringo's?
That's now the new Hunterdon County Fairgrounds, right off of 173 and 202.
Right, it's 173.
Where the old Ringo's drive-in was.
Well, they're, in addition to everything else, they're going to have a free shredding event. So I've told people my last hour, and I'll tell everybody now, great to get all of your documents, all of your old checks, anything with Social Security numbers, any bank records that you want to get rid of, anything that could identify you and lead to identity theft, or frankly, anything that you don't want someone to pick out of your garbage, you should take it to shredding. And SureShred will be there. I know in the past, they've even, if you needed it, they would even give you a receipt that, in fact, your documents have been shred. So at least I'll be there. And anybody else I know that should be there if they have any documents, any papers. As an attorney, I regularly have to shred everything. I had a fairly decent shredder at one time, and I don't know, somebody put something in it like a can, and that ended it. So now this is what I do, and this is going to be, I think, I'm not sure who in Hunterdon County is sponsoring it. But in any event, come out to the chamber on the 3rd, and, you know, let's, you know, get all your shredding done at the same time.
Always a good idea to get documents shredded, Pat. You never know when something's going to get into somebody's hands that should not have them. And as we get more and more dependent on the Internet and electronic means of trusting people, we know that we're going to have to be more careful about where we leave important things and how we throw things away. It's a sad commentary, but as the world changes, we have to change too in order to protect ourselves and those we care about and those we're responsible for. Meanwhile, Pat, congratulations to the Pittsburgh Penguins. They won in double overtime last night over the Ottawa Senators. A great effort. Puck handling by Pittsburgh's Sidney Crosby, passing a puck to Chris Kunitz, who put it behind the goaltender Anderson, 3-2 with 5 minutes in a second overtime. Pittsburgh advances to meet the Nashville Predators, and one of my favorite players, P.K. Subban, in the Stanley Cup Finals, which start Monday night. And I can tell you where I'm going to be Monday night, in front of my TV, watching the face-off at 7:30.
Well, I watched the basketball last night, the Cavaliers, and I finally turned it off, but they were about 20 points ahead most of the game. And I didn't look today, but I'm assuming they won. And that would have been four games, and they really looked incredible. I mean, the Celtics are not slouches, but they were no match for the Cavaliers. I watched a couple of the games in that series. Did you have any chance to see any of it?
Well, Pat, I'm not a basketball fan. I'm a hockey fan, and so I watched hockey and enjoyed Nashville getting past the LA Kings, and really was happy to see the Pittsburgh Penguins get past the Ottawa Senators. What that means is that the Stanley Cup Finals will all be in a reasonably close time zone. Pittsburgh's in our zone, and I think Nashville's in the central time zone. So the games won't be starting too late, and a lot of our younger fans will be able to stay up and watch them. You're going to see some good, good hockey.
But were those games last night?
Yes.
So they had basketball at the same time as hockey?
Well, you can thank the lords of television programming for that, Pat. We all know that sports are subject to the electronic eye. It's just the way the world works these days.
Yeah, but I just can't believe that they didn't schedule those. I mean, there are people who are both basketball and hockey fans.
I guess there must be one or two of them.
Oh, I think there are more than one or two. But
let's wonder about that. Meanwhile, the Chicago Bears have just signed former New York Giant Victor Cruz. Do you know that? So now your Green Bay Packers have somebody else to beat up on.
Well, yeah. What do you think about that? I mean, do you think he's really going to be, why did the Bears go after him, and do you think he'll really fill a need?
Well, the Bears have to have somebody to throw to. He can certainly catch a football. How fast he is anymore, I don't know. But, he certainly has NFL-quality smarts. You can't take that away from him. But, the Giants, I think, were in a move to cut salaries, and they cut $7.3 million that they paid him, for which they preserved $5.9 million of cap space.
Well, what are the Bears going to pay him?
He's on a one-year contract. The Bears, I don't know what the Bears are paying him. It wasn't reported this morning when I was getting up and listening to my favorite sports channel, which will go unnamed. But
probably from Philadelphia.
But, Pat, Pat, I'm very proud of my Philadelphia Phillies. They've managed to lose 11 out of the last 13 games, and that's not an easy feat. Even the Mets are having trouble doing that.
Well, in fact, I was going to be so nice today that I wasn't going to rub it in. In other words, you know, I was not even going to mention your poor Phillies.
Well, you can't call them the poor Phillies because they're owned by some very wealthy people.
Yeah, well, I should say the poor Philly fans then.
Well, the poor Philly fans are just that. They deserve better, Pat. We really do.
Yes, I agree.
You know, but there are a lot of older men who have said that they're not going to shuffle off this mortal coil until the Phillies win another World Series. And I think of that as a form of life insurance. The Phillies, for my father-in-law, who lived to be 94, was a Phillies fan all his life. When the Phillies won in 80, and he said, now I can die happy. The Phillies have finally won a World Series. And when I offered to take him to Phillies games, he would decline.
He was afraid they'd lose?
He was afraid he would jinx them and they would lose. And then when I would offer to take him to Trenton Thunder games, he was, because they lived in Trenton, he was reluctant to go until one day I showed up at the car and I said, hop in. And my mother-in-law had recently passed away and he wanted to know where we were going. So we went to the ballpark. He complained the whole time we were there. And managed to drink more beer than me and enjoyed himself totally. And now I had to disappoint him and tell him that they were a Red Sox farm team then instead of a Phillies farm team.
Well, you know what? It'd be interesting. I never thought of this, but I wonder if more beer is consumed at football games or baseball games.
Pat, I've been to Packer games. I think more beer is consumed at Packer games.
Well, do you want a real statistic?
Go ahead.
The top, and I don't think it's just beer drinking, the top cities for alcohol consumption, the top 20. What do you think number one?
Green Bay.
That's right. And how many cities out of the top 20 are in Wisconsin?
All of them.
No, come on. How about 10?
10.
10 of the top 20.
Well, I think of it as antifreeze.
Yeah, but, I mean, come on. 50 states and there's Wisconsin. I mean, if you wanted antifreeze, you'd probably say Alaska.
Well, I don't know. I've never been to Alaska, but I've been to Green Bay in December, and it's pretty cold.
That's true.
I will tell you that I admire Green Bay fans because it seems like Jägermeister and a bratwurst at 8 a.m. is a child's meal.
Well, as long as the beer isn't frozen, and somehow they've managed. You know, it would be interesting. I've never asked, at what temperature does beer freeze?
Minus 30.
Are you serious, or are you just making that up?
I can tell you that in college we had an experiment. A group of us, and I will tell you that at one time I thought I wanted to be a doctor and make my mother happy. So I was taking organic chemistry and quantitative analysis. And, you know, when you take organic chemistry, you have labs to do. And you have to talk about the freezing point of certain substances like alcohol. And certain alcoholic substances that have been diluted with water and barley and malt and hops and yeast, which are known as beer. And I can tell you that Schmidt's beer will turn into a Slurpee at 40 below zero.
Really?
Yes.
Well, it's interesting. Also, little-known statistic about beer, and of course, you have to talk about beer if you talk about sports, and you're right. What is amazing to me, if you go to Lambeau, even the game where it was 13 below zero, where we sat out 13 below zero, there were people drinking beer. And it would be interesting to see how much more beer or how much less beer is consumed as the temperature drops by, you know, 20 degrees. In other words, is there a lot more beer sold at Lambeau if it's 20 degrees out as compared to zero? But I'm telling you, even 13 below, there were people drinking beer.
Well, I think at 13 below zero, you're supposed to stop drinking beer and start pulling on that flask you brought with you.
Well, they're careful now. You know what? I'm not so sure you'd get through security with a flask. I guess as a woman, you could probably act pregnant and get your flask in. But, you know, you're absolutely right. In the days when I was a kid, I do remember every game, and my father wasn't a big drinker, but there would be a flask, and it would get passed around to everybody, including the kids, at games, only at games. Well, and it did, you felt like you were warmer. Of course, maybe it's just you weren't feeling anything.
Well, I think that when you stop feeling your ankles, you have to ask yourself a serious question. Is it because of the cold outside or because of the warmth inside?
Getting back to sports.
It's a lot of fun to talk about these things because, I admire people who are good professional athletes. And you know the point I've made in the past about sports and performance-enhancing drugs and how, very often athletes today use them have in the past, like Alex Rodriguez or Jose Canseco.
Oh, and who was the football player who was so...
remember Lyle?
Lyle, that's who I'm thinking of, is Lyle.
He played for the Oakland Raiders.
Yeah, and he
was an amazing character.
He was, but it was also an unfortunate... the amount of steroids.
Brain cancer is a horrible illness.
Yes, and probably as a result of drug use.
Probably so. But, just think of how great those athletes like Babe Ruth and Mickey Mantle were, because their performance-enhancing drugs were bourbon and scotch.
That's true.
Babe Ruth was legendary for his ability to imbibe. And Mickey Mantle, my childhood hero... I always grew up believing the strongest thing he ever drank was milk. Shows what I knew.
Hardly, and it was Mickey and who was his great friend? It's slipping my.
Remember Billy Martin?
Billy.
Billy Martin was an Italian guy.
Yeah, Billy Martin and Mickey Mantle. I mean, there are legendary stories about them.
Well, it just goes to show you that. Alcohol, although I don't think of it as a performance-enhancing drug, probably kept these guys from even being greater athletes than they actually.
Oh, I'm sure that it did.
Mantle had terrible osteomyelitis. He had literally a hole in his upper thigh that would never heal, and I'm sure that alcohol was probably interfering with his recovery. Mantle once very famously said after his career that if he had known he was going to live this long, he would have taken better care of himself.
Well, there are a lot of not only athletes, but people that say the same thing.
Oh,
there's a whole younger generation that think they're not going to live beyond, 20 or 25. And, a few years ago, they would drug and drink as if that was going to be it. But in any event, so you're not a basketball fan. LeBron James now he is the highest number of points of any player. He overcame, and I can't believe I'm not remembering who it was. Who was?
Oh, Magic Johnson.
No.
Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan. And he was phenomenal last night. I mean, LeBron James, I still like Michael Jordan. I think I may, he's probably my favorite, if I can think about it. I mean, I like Shaq, too, but this was amazing. I mean, LeBron James for, 6'7"? And he's a big guy, but the way he moves around the court, and not only LeBron, but some of these other players, I mean, the shots they make... were just absolutely amazing to me. I know they're considered good defense people, but they were just... The first quarter last night, I mean, it was... How many points? They had scored over 30-some points in the first quarter. I mean, it was really amazing. You probably have a paper, and I'm trying to remember after having a very hectic day. But I think that was the most points scored in a quarter in franchise history. And they were just, I mean, the Cavaliers could not stop them. On the other hand, for a while, I mean, the Cavaliers, it wasn't the Celtics could not stop the Cavaliers. But then for a while, they were trading off. I mean, the score on both sides was, extremely high. So I don't think we're usually used to having such high scores. But it was a fun game and not a fun game to watch last night. The night before was, I thought, in some ways more enjoyable because last night there was such a big gap in the score that it was, it wasn't an exciting game. It wasn't a game where you get down to, the last couple minutes and you don't know who's going to be winning.
Well, basketball is not my sport.
Well, me either, but
I have,
any sport is fun when it's getting to this close to a championship.
That's true, and that's a good reason to watch. But I find that with so many NBA games, the players don't play hard.
Oh, they did.
Until the last couple
night.
Of minutes in the regular season, and it's almost like they mail it in. I much prefer college basketball, particularly when the Temple Owls are playing or another team that I'm interested in seeing win.
Now, see, I only watch college during March Madness. That's about the only time that I watch football. But then, the horse races recently were really interesting. The Kentucky Derby, and did you see the? Nope. No. Anyway.
I'm pretty boring when it comes to horses. I like looking at horses. I'm glad other people own them. They make very interesting pets, and I like trail riding a lot. But the idea of these horses just simply running in a circle for 2 minutes, yeah, I understand it's the most exciting 2 minutes in sports is a Kentucky Derby or Churchill.
Well, but the winner, the Preakness, the Kentucky Derby winner came in, I think, eighth in the Preakness. So, once again, neither one of the two favorites for Preakness came in. In fact, it was interesting. The horse who won was not in the Derby. And so the question is, because that horse had much more time to rest, was that an advantage? In any event, it was... Dave loves the Kentucky Derby, so that is the reason that we at least watch. And, it doesn't take a lot of time out of your day unless you want to watch all the festivities.
Well, the pageantry is fun, and when they sing My Old Kentucky Home, that's kind of cool, and the ladies in those neat hats are interesting. A friend of mine went to a place called Ascot in England, which is a very upper crusty blue blood kind of racetrack, and he was invited by somebody who I think owned a piece of the horse, and from the expense side, I think these horses cost, I think it must have been a very small piece. But Pat, I think we've got a break for some commercials.
I think we have to break and hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back after we do that.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
your eyes remain stymied when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pamby's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pamby's Purely Delicious Ice Cream, Gelato, and Sorbet, made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31, south of Clinton. Pamby's Purely Delicious.
See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, we're back with the sports guys, and maybe we wanted to talk a little bit, Bill, since this is Memorial Day weekend, about what happened with all the sports guys and everybody else, especially World War II, when they were not drafted. Most of them, I don't believe, were drafted. I think many of them volunteered and served. I guess most recently, the biggest sports guy who served and was killed was Pat Tillman. And, of course, that was in Afghanistan. But, what do you have to say about all the sports figures that served?
Well, we had some interesting people who fought in the armed forces in World War II and in the Korean War. One, of course, was Bob Feller, who served in the Navy. You remember, he was a great Cleveland Indian pitcher, and he served in the Navy both in World War II. He had come up to the majors in 1941 at 18, and he was considered a phenom. He was considered such a good pitcher that the Navy, he was drafted into the armed forces and served 3 years on a ship.
Was he actually drafted, or did he volunteer?
I think he may have volunteered. I think he had to volunteer to be in the Navy. Otherwise, he ended up in the Army.
Right, I think so.
We also had Ted Williams. Ted Williams, a man with phenomenal eyesight, was a fighter pilot both in World War II and in the Korean War. His eyesight was so good that he was able to fly fighter jets at a very high level of competency and see targets and enemy aircraft from miles and miles away. It was said that Ted Williams could actually see the baseball as it spun and see the stitches. His eyesight was so acute. Years later, when Ted was retired and doing commercials for Sears' line of fishing equipment, he would often talk about his war experiences and what it was like. Ted Williams was an interesting guy. He retired, lived out his life in Florida, and spent a lot of it fishing and just doing what he wanted to do. But I want to talk about some people personally, close to me at different points in my life, who were athletes, whether they were boaters or baseball players or auto racers. First of all, my uncle Larry Levine served in the Navy in World War II, and my uncle had just gotten married to my Aunt Bee when Pearl Harbor broke out, and sometime in early 1942, he found himself in the Navy. My uncle was a brilliant machinist. He worked with a number of the race car drivers at the Flemington Speedway here in Flemington, helping them build race car engines, maintaining them, doing all sorts of things. And he had a reputation that was so good that a number of racers from the Indianapolis 500 would occasionally call upon him for advice or perhaps to machine a crankshaft.
Now, what did he do in service, though? Because usually people who were very talented ended up doing something completely different.
Well, they put him on an oiler, and for once the Navy, United States Navy, got it right. They put him on an oiler, and they made him a machinist mate and then the chief machinist mate. And my uncle was on an oiler when it had just finished refueling a task force, and it was empty except for its own fuel and on its way back to Australia to gas back up again and go back out, when it was hit by not one but two torpedoes from a Japanese submarine. And the story that he told was that the first torpedo blew a hole in the hull, but the captain and the crew, seeing that the torpedo was some ways off, decided they would turn the ship so that the torpedo hit the higher part of the hull as the ship heeled in the direction of the torpedo. So when the torpedo hit and exploded, the ship heeled back, and the hull was above the waterline. Unfortunately, the next torpedo was beautifully aimed, and it swam right into the hole. So now they had a live torpedo floating around inside the ship.
Oh, wow.
And the captain told my uncle and a couple of the guys that he worked with to go down and see what they could do about shoving it back out the ship or taking it apart. And they weren't able to do either because the ship was rolling. Apparently, the submarine that had fired these torpedoes had sailed off somewhere underwater to go look for better prey because they only saw a small explosion and not a big one. So what happened was that they sailed about 800 miles with this torpedo rolling around inside, and what they ended up doing was bracing it so it wouldn't go anywhere or so the exploder wouldn't hit. Then they slowly but surely took it apart.
Wow.
And when they got back to Australia, I think to Queenstown or Cooktown, the ship was in dry dock for a month and a half. Later in the war, right after the Japanese agreed to surrender, but before the peace treaty was signed on September 2, 1945 on the deck of the Missouri. My uncle's oiler, complete with my uncle, sailed into Yokohama Harbor, and the ship's job was to generate electricity so that they could put power into what was left of the Japanese electrical lines, because Japan had been very heavily bombed by the United States Army Air Force. So they kept the hospital running, they kept the lights on in Yokohama Harbor, and a Japanese officer was assigned to liaise with the ship. And he was a naval officer, and he was a lieutenant, and the captain of the American oiler, my uncle's ultimate commander, said they didn't have to shoot him.
Well, you know,
they didn't have to shoot him, but they didn't have to salute him either.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is there are so many stories out there, and certainly on Veterans Day I always have a special program. But right now, getting back to the athletes that served, you know, one of the, well, there were so many. In fact, I recently again watched Private Ryan, and it was not unusual.
Ryan, that's quite a story.
It really was, and it's not. It was not unusual that, you know, if you had a large family, three, four, five brothers would all be in the service, and of course, they wanted to serve together whenever possible. And I think that that was a case where they finally realized that. Can you imagine? I mean, my grandmother got one; she was a Gold Star mother. And to lose one son, but to lose two, three, or four, I mean, I just can't imagine how a family would have survived.
Well, you know how that law evolved.
Well, that was because of the Sullivan brothers.
The Sullivan brothers were on a ship going to Iceland when it was torpedoed by a German sub, and four of them went down. So the law was passed that you could not serve with your brother. And if you had lost all but one of the male children in the family in the war, the survivor would be rotated back home to serve in a non-combatant capacity.
Right. And, of course, my father, who was also in the war, as was his youngest brother, Babe. Babe was the one who was killed, but there were more brothers. It was a big Irish family, so you know, they all served out their time because, luckily, for them, and they only lost their youngest brother. But that was something that affected that family. You know, I remember years later, they brought my uncle's body back. I mean, I was really little, but I think that was the first time I went to a funeral. And of course, it was, I don't know, 10, 12 years before they actually brought that body back. And I guess they did try to do that after the Second World War.
Well, they still did. In fact, on Tarawa, an island in the Pacific, one of the first to be assaulted by the Marines, it was a heavily defended Japanese island, they are still exhuming bodies from some of the mass graves, but they say the beaches ran red with blood. As the Marines battled ashore.
They're still doing it now?
Oh, yeah.
American?
Sure.
Americans?
Well, yeah.
Why? I can't imagine. Why in the world wouldn't they have done that much faster?
Well, because there were so many heavy losses assaulting that island that a lot of the dead Marines were put in mass graves, and sometimes because of the heavy bombing and the fighting back and forth, people forgot where those graves were. Because this was a 5 or 6 mile square island that was honeycombed with Japanese soldiers and defenses and artillery and traps and everything else you could possibly imagine in your worst nightmares. So I read something not long ago in one of the American Legion publications about the battle for Tarawa, and they said the Marines suffered the heaviest casualties there per square mile of beach, per mile of beach, than we suffered at Omaha Beach or Utah Beach.
Well, getting back to sports, that was during the Second World War, of course, and I think we've talked about this before. So many of the major professional league baseball, they couldn't get the players. So, you know, you had Eddie Goodell and you had Pete Gray. And then there was, from what I understand, there were also, that was when the women playing baseball, that was the most, you know, that was when that was very popular because that's all they had.
The League of Their Own. Remember the movie?
The League of Their Own.
Great movie with Gina Davis, Madonna, Rosie O'Donnell.
Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks. There's no crying in baseball, Pat.
Yeah.
But I
guess that was, I don't know if that was a true story, but it was certainly based on the fact that, you know, the women, you know, they started watching women because there were no other men to watch as far as sports. That's what was there. And going back to looking at some of those old pictures, if you see them on television, you know, people were very dressed up. We talked about the Kentucky Derby. I think that seems to be the only sport today where people actually get dressed up. I mean, they wear suits, the women wear hats. If you look at some of that old, the old films, you know, all the men were in suits, women were in dresses, and you know, now, you know, other than, and in fact, it seems like it's only the Kentucky Derby because it was very different dress standard in Baltimore at the last race.
That's interesting. I remember as a child being taken by my grandfather to Madison Square Garden to see the Golden Gloves, and he wore a jacket, a tie, a suit, a hat. And I had to wear a jacket and tie too when I was 8 years old. And, you know, he, because of the business he was in, he was a hat maker. One of his friends had picked out a tie for me, and it wasn't a clip on. I had to be shown how to tie it before we could go. And since that time, I've known how to tie a necktie because he made me tie it 10 times. But you're right. People would dress up to go to these events, whereas now I think we dress down. If you ever go to a ball game on a really hot day, I think you see more skin at a ball game than you do at a gentleman's club or a Chippendales event.
Well, you certainly don't see more skin when it's zero or below at Lambeau, let me tell you. But the big thing there is the guys will wear their hunting suits. And the other problem, of course, and you've been there, so you know they're bleachers. And you get up to cheer, and you sit down, and there's no room because everybody has all of these big coats on. Well, and the Wisconsin people are not known to be skinny.
No. We call Wisconsin the land of the good eaters in my house because people who have been out there, and I have cousins that live in Milwaukee, say that if you can get up from a table, you haven't eaten enough.
Well, but I think the fact that they have 10 of the top 20 cities as far as consumption of alcohol may have a little bit to do with it too.
Yeah.
What's happening sports-wise this weekend? Anything
well,
that
we have some interesting things going on. As you know, Odell Beckham is not showing up for the Giants' optional team activities. And
now, how does he get away with that? I know it's optional, but what's with this guy?
I think he's just a brat. I think he doesn't really care about his team. He doesn't have to show up. He's not going to show up. They say he's practicing with Johnny Manziel, but I think he's probably practicing bending his elbow.
But, you know, the problem with a guy like that, as soon as he's not super, they're going to drop him.
Well,
you know,
yeah,
where
see,
they might keep someone who is really a good team guy, they might keep him an extra year, although I'm starting to doubt that because I've seen what's happened with the Packers, and I think they should have kept a few of the players for another year or two.
Sometimes teams stay with players too long because they're good in the locker room or because of reputation or because they're a fan favorite.
Yeah, but you
but
know
Odell
what?
Odell Beckham is not helping his cause.
No, but you know what? There's something to be said about these terrific players that pull teams together. I mean, there's no question. I mean, for example, the best example I know of was Reggie White.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he came to Lambeau. Granted, he was a leader in Philadelphia, but he came to Lambeau, and he really became the leader of that team. And Brett Favre kind of backed off and didn't challenge him.
Well, there's no good reason to, because a guy like Reggie White, a real character guy, a great player, and I understand a really devout Christian, was considered by many to be what you should aspire to be, both as a football player and as a human being.
But for him to come into a new team, and, I mean, he wasn't at Green Bay that long, and for him to come into a new team and establish that leadership that quickly, to me, that was always pretty amazing. And you're right. I mean, he was an exceptional person. But why Philadelphia didn't do everything possible to keep him is still beyond me.
I don't know. But
well, he was a leader.
Odell Beckham, don't expect to see him until mandatory pre-camp on June 13th. I just don't see this fellow flying in formation or doing anything he doesn't really have to do. And, I hope he has another good season for the
Giants.
Well,
is that a big ego? Is that he have such a big ego that he doesn't think he needs to practice?
I don't know if it's that or if he doesn't have to, why should he? As long as he reports in shape and he can give them a 1,000-yard season and 30 or 40 touchdowns and a lot of good receptions, it's going to be the kind of thing where the Giants need him. Eli Manning needs somebody of Beckham's caliber to throw to. I know that Victor Cruz for a while was floating the allegation that Manning wouldn't throw to him even when he was open, which I find hard to swallow because I think Manning would throw to anybody who was open if he thought he could complete a pass. Manning is not a jealous guy, and I don't think he's a vindictive guy.
Well, so, but why would he be jealous if the guys are catching? I mean, that shows him as someone who can't be faulted, even if he did not throw the perfect football.
That's right.
I mean, because there are times where, you see some of these balls and, you think nobody could catch them. But, the quarterback would be the one who is chided as, not doing what he should do, not in the pattern, the receiver was expecting a ball and it didn't get delivered, or especially if it's lofting all over the place. So I can't imagine why quarterbacks would not be the best supporters of their receivers.
I would think, if not their offensive linemen, because the offensive linemen are critical to a quarterback's success, my humble opinion. You know how I feel strongly about line play.
Well, the one thing that Aaron Rodgers will do, and I think it's great, is if one of his receivers has not caught one or two balls, he'll still go back to them because he knows that they need that kind of confidence. And I'm always amazed at, that second catch or that third catch, because they'll really do it.
Well, remember something. Quarterbacks depend on their receivers to get open and to stay open so that they can deliver a good ball. And I think one of the reasons Cruz did not have such a great second half, I think he was injured and we simply didn't know it. I don't think the team lost faith in him. I think there was just a problem somewhere where he wasn't coming down with the ball or he wasn't getting open but thought he was, perhaps. I don't know.
So who do you think the Bears quarterback is going to be this year?
I haven't the slightest idea. They've made a couple of draft picks for a quarterback. I frankly think the Bears are in for a tough 2 or 3 years of rebuilding. And I don't.
Well, I guess I can't complain about that. But
no, you should be happy. I mean, if the Bears win 6 games, they've had a good season. As long as none of them are against Green Bay, they've had a great season, right, Pat?
Yeah.
If they can knock off a game against the Vikings and the Lions,
that would even be better, especially if they could do 2 against the Vikings.
Yeah, you'll sing their praises.
Absolutely. I've always liked, it's kind of a, I suppose, somewhat of a love-hate relationship with the Bears and the Packers, but it's just a pure hate relationship with the Vikings.
I don't know why you would hate the Vikings. Ugh. I mean, Minnesota, the only thing I don't like about the Vikings is their uniforms.
Oh, their purple uniforms?
Purple.
Ugh.
I mean, I thought the Purple People Eater thing was kind of cool, especially when some of them became a Minnesota Supreme Court judge. But on the other hand, I just never really thought football teams should be allowed to wear purple. I just don't like the color purple.
Their fans are not Philadelphia fans and not Oakland fans. But one of the things that they've done is I think they have artificial noise. And they've even the new stadium, I'm wondering if they didn't do something to, what would you say, enhance acoustics? Or, you know, it's really uncomfortable watching Minnesota games, even if you're sitting on and watching on television, because all you hear is that noise.
Well, that's true. It's kind of hard to follow the announcers. You know what I've done when you see the Giants or the Eagles playing Minnesota or Green Bay playing Minnesota? I turn the sound off, and I put on the closed captioning, which you can do on most television sets now, for most of your TV providers, I don't know what vendors, I don't know what to call them anymore. And if I turn the sound off, and that means that I don't have to listen to some terrible announcing.
And some of it is not good. I mean, I know some people that will listen to radio because they like the radio announcers better than the TV announcers. It depends. It really depends on who it is. But some of them are, some of them are much better than others.
Well, Philadelphia used to have an announcer, Bysom. And Bysom had a very nice voice. He and Richie Ashburn would be on 560, which was WFIL-AM, the Philadelphia Phillies radio station, for years and years. And they made it a point of being very accurate with the play-by-play, telling you what pitch was coming. They would tell you the score every 5 minutes, and they would sometimes tell you a little joke in between pitching changes or something. So they were throw in a bit of color about the player coming in or going out, or they would, when an opposing pitcher would give up four runs and he would walk from the mound to the dugout, they would call that the walk of shame. When somebody would come in from the bullpen, they would say that the guy was prancing in from the bullpen and had been let out of the stockade.
Now, there are some radio announcers, and you know, that's the way I grew up listening to baseball. I mean, we didn't watch it on television. We used to listen to the games. And, you know, you could really picture everything that was going on because some of these announcers were so good. But talking about times, and this time we need to say goodbye. John has not managed to make it today. We got an email from him that he was jammed up at the office. So hi from John, and hopefully he'll be here next week. So we'll play a couple spots, and we'll wrap up and give our last thoughts.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Don't fear technology.
Come join us for the 4th Annual Hunterdon County Community Day on Saturday, June 3rd from 11 to 4 at the County Fairgrounds, South County Park, and Ringo's. There'll be food, there'll be music, there'll be games, fun for the whole family, pony rides and a petting zoo, reptile shows by Michael Schwedick, outdoor games and activities, a shred event sponsored by the Hunterdon County Clerk from 11 to 3, tethered balloon rides by Unity Bank. The 4th Annual Hunterdon County Community Day on Saturday, June 3rd, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the Board of Chosen Freeholders of Hunterdon County, Hunterdon Healthcare, Unity Bank, Jersey Mike's and Subs. For all the great details and information, visit HunterdonChamber.org or give us a call at 908-782-7115.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families.
Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Okay, well, we're about to say goodbye for this week. Don't forget the next Saturday, believe it or not, is June, obviously. Seems like it can't possibly be the end of May, but it is. Have a great Memorial Day. Don't celebrate too much. We'll be here on Friday. And again, think about taking some time and getting all that shredding together. And if you do nothing else next Saturday,